Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. From the front page of the commercial news today, the first story is titled, Overachiever. Salt Forks Mall set to be youngest dual enrollment grad. And this story is by Christy Jankowski. Catlin. From the beginning, Audrina Mowell's mom, Jenna, said she has kept on her toes, just constantly going and labeling herself as an overachiever. And now she is set to be the youngest dual enrollment graduate of Salt Fork High School. Audrina Mowell is just 16 and will graduate with the Salt Fork High School class of 2027 and walk for her associate's degree from Danville Area Community College through the school's dual enrollment program. Her mother, Jenna Mall, is quite proud of her ambitious daughter. She was walking at 8 months. She has been, let's just go, Mall said of her daughter. We'll constantly tell her to slow down and be a kid. And this is what I love. This being an overachiever is my thing. And Jenna says they had to petition the DACC board to allow Audrina to graduate with her associates. Apparently, DACC, we found at the school board meeting, DACC has decided starting this coming year, freshmen and sophomores can't do dual enrollment anymore. So she'll be the only one in Salt Fork to ever graduate this early. Her mother said, she had to go in front of the board and petition to get it done because the school handbook says you have to do 7 semesters. She's doing 6. So it was pretty awesome that she went to them and she was able to prove this is why I should be able to and no, it doesn't harm me. And none of this has come easy for Audrina, who just underwent hip surgery. She also underwent hip surgery to repair a torn labrum and continued working towards her academic goals throughout her recovery, her mom said. Watching her remain determined despite that challenge made this achievement even more meaningful for our family. During this whole time, Mowell has maintained a 4.0 grade point average while recovering from hip surgery. Schoolwork was kind of the only thing I could do, Audrina said, about that time period of recovery. So it was nice being able to get up in the morning. Yeah, something straight away, and then after school, have some of my friends come over. Her mother added, she has participated in varsity football and basketball, cheerleading, competitive cheer, cross country, track, FFA, and serves as a rebel ambassador. She has also dedicated more than 200 hours to volunteering in our community, primarily mentoring and coaching younger athletes. In fact, she is cleared to do cheer and gymnastics by her surgeon. So while many teenagers are spending their summer breaks swimming or sleeping, she's teaching. She starts today with Pascal Performance, which is like a cheer company, her mom said. She will be doing lots of choreography. So she's going to be doing the camps over at the Urbana Middle School and High School this week. The 16-year-old has dreams of pursuing veterinary medicine. And she wants to serve her country in the military at the same time. I want to be a veterinarian in the military so I can help the service animals. Any animals that they have as house pets, she said. I've always loved being around animals, and any time they're not feeling well or something looks wrong, I'm always like wanting to help. Audrina hopes to continue her schooling across the ocean, too, at the University of Liverpool. She says she hopes someday to own her own practice and helping take care of service animals. But meanwhile, she will keep busy with activities, like coaching tumbling at the Infinity Gym Academy. And while her mother says it makes her nervous to think of her daughter living overseas, She knows her daughter can do it, and her mother has tested her daughter's abilities of flying solo on trips to various events. I use that as like a test, like, can you really handle being away from me? Her mother said. And she was like, oh my God, I loved it, and I didn't really want to come home. And I was like, she's so more ready than a lot of kids would be. Our next story is titled Sexual Abuse Case Called for Arraignment. And this is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. A former District 118 teacher involved with community theater is to have no contact with former students while on pretrial release charges. Jordan Ritchie, a 27-year-old male, was back in court on Monday for charges related to criminal sexual assault of minors. Online court documents show Ritchie's case was called for felony arraignment on Monday following an indictment filed on July 16th. Ritchie has pleaded not guilty and waived the reading of the charges. Court documents, obtained through a records request to the Vermilion County Courts, revealed Ritchie's conditions of pretrial release were entered into record on July 6th. Ritchie is ordered to appear before every court date, follow all the pretrial release services, and comply, not commit any more criminal offenses, and must notify the clerk of any address changes. Additionally, Ritchie is not to have any contact with a court-recorded victim, according to court documents, directly or indirectly. Ritchie is also to not have any communication with former students regarding the alleged victim and the case. The district administration received an allegation of inappropriate conduct regarding Jordan Ritchie, a teacher at Danville High School. District 118 Superintendent John Hart wrote in a letter shared through an email to parents and guardians. The district administration immediately reported the allegations to the Danville Police Department, which opened an investigation into the allegations. When asked about this matter, Hart's email response was, "The district has no comment on this inquiry, as it is a personnel matter." The Danville Police Department is involved with investigating this matter. This case is still considered an ongoing investigation, and releasing the report could jeopardize the investigation, said Danville Police FOIA Administrator Bill Westfall. Ritchie's next court date is September 21st. The public is reminded that the charges are merely an accusation. The defendant is presumed innocent unless proven guilty. Anyone with information related to this investigation is encouraged to contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or to report a tip to Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org or using their mobile app P3 Tips or calling 217-446-TIPS. There is also help for any victims of any sexual assault at the Survivor Resource Center in Danville. You can call them at 217-446-1337 to access services or contact their hotline at 866-617-3224. And our final item from the front page today is titled Amish Author Hosts Book Signing Event. This is by Christy Jankowski. Danville. An Amish author hosts a book signing event in this Thursday at Silk and Spine at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville. The book signing will take place at 2 p.m. with Kevin Williams, who is also the editor of the Amish Cook column that runs weekly in the Commercial News. And while he has written and published numerous cookbooks, he says this is a first-of-its-kind adventure. The book kind of walks the reader through the whole Amish cook story, like how it began. There's also a journalism undercurrent, too. Just the trajectory of how newspapers were, you know, this column began. They were in their glory days, and, you know, not so anymore. The syndicated columnist added, he says it's been over a decade since his last talk. This Danville one is the first one I've done in literally 15 years, he said. A lot has changed with the column, with newspapers. It's largely a Q&A format, so people can come with questions about any aspect, Amish culture or my journalism, and talk about it. The Commercial News is not the only newspaper to carry the Amish cook column. The first newspaper to carry the column was the Quincy, Illinois, or Herald Whig paper, and they still carry it to this day, over 35 years later, which is crazy to think about, he said. The Amish cook never broke into Indianapolis, Chicago, or St. Louis. It was always a staple in the Danvilles, Decaturs, and Quincy's. Kevin was 17 or 18 when he got his break into the news world, stemming from a school project. I just happened to randomly see a newspaper article about the Amish, and I thought, oh, this would be interesting. So I did the research paper, he said. It turned into a big thing. Oh, wow, this is journalism. And just sort of the Amish cook column was a great way to sort of combine my interests. There will be a question and answer format at the book signing, where guests are encouraged to ask all questions related to the Amish. Kevin adds, it has been a popular column in the Commercial News. The readers have been really good to the column, and I thought Danville was a great first place to do one of these talks. And that's the end of our items from the front page of the Commercial News today. Turning to some local stories, next we have a staff report titled Schweitzer Launches Brandon on the Job. Danville. Illinois State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, Republican from Danville, has launched a new initiative called Brandon on the Job. According to a release from the representative, Schweitzer started this initiative with a visit to the Danville Fire Department, where he spent time working alongside firefighters, helping wash fire trucks, cleaning the station, and learning more about the challenges they face serving the community. The initiative will take Representative Schweitzer to workplaces throughout the 104th District, where he will spend time with employees, employers, and public servants to better understand their work, the challenges they face, and how state government can better support them. In the last few years, East Central Illinois has seen businesses close, relocate, or reduce their workforce, Schweitzer said in the release. Those losses affect families, our local economy, and the future of our communities. If we're going to create an environment where businesses can grow and people want to build their future here, I can't just wait for people to come to Springfield. I need to go to the people doing the work every day, hear directly from them, and bring what I learn back to the Capitol. Schweitzer said the goal is simple. Spend time on the job, listen, learn, and bring those experiences back to Springfield. The best ideas don't always come from the Capitol. They come from the people on the front lines doing the work every day, Schweitzer said. Every visit gives me a better understanding of what's working, what's not, and where state government can do a better job of getting out of the way or providing the right support. I appreciate the Danville Fire Department for welcoming me and sharing their experience. Schweitzer plans to continue visiting businesses, manufacturers, farms, schools, healthcare providers, first responders, nonprofits, and other employers across the district throughout the year. Businesses, organizations, and public agencies that are interested in hosting a future Brandon on-the-job visit are encouraged to contact Schweitzer's district office. For more information or to schedule a visit, contact Representative Schweitzer's office at 217-477-0104. And we're going to turn now to the obituaries for July 21st. We have two today, it looks like. And the first is for Patty Ann Marshall. Patty Ann Conrad Marshall, age 83, of Perrysville, passed away peacefully on Monday, July 20th, 2026. A visitation will be at Sanders Funeral Care, 203 South 1st Street in Kingman, on Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, from 1 p.m. till the time of the funeral service at 3 p.m., with Ed Kent officiating. Burial will follow at Lower Mound Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given to the Perrysville Volunteer Fire Department, P.O. Box 398, Perrysville, Indiana, 47974. Larry Allison. Larry E. Allison, 81, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away on Friday, July 17th, 2026, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A graveside service for Larry will take place on August 1st, 2026, at 11 a.m. at Gundy Cemetery in Bismarck, Illinois. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center's Houghton Leisure Chapel at 200 East West Street in Georgetown helped the family. Please join Larry's family in sharing memories, pictures, and videos on his tribute wall at www.sunsetfuneralhome.com. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in Larry's name to his wife, Darlene Allison, to help with financial obligations. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to some other local area stories from the commercial news. The next one is by Christy Jankowski and is titled County Ends Tax Program with Vermilion Advantage. Danville. The Vermilion County Board voted to end Vermilion Advantage's involvement with the county's tax trustee program. County Board Chairman Steve Miller said the decision for the resolution, which passed, comes around a year after it was initially proposed by the county treasurer and Vermilion Advantage's former CEO, Mike Marin, who resigned on October 9th. The Vermilion Advantage Executive Committee, in consultation with me and other county representatives, have basically decided that this is not the main core mission of Vermilion Advantage, and it's a lot of responsibility, Miller said. It's a lot of work, and they would rather emphasize other projects. And we think we need to perhaps go back to Joseph Meyer Company, whom we have been pretty satisfied with for many years. Miller was asked by a board member about a payment made and whether the county would be able to recover those funds. I believe a financial payment has been made, Miller said. That's one of the things we really want to get to the bottom of on who owes what to whom. I don't want to give assurances as exactly what we are going to get back, but I'm sure we will get everything back, which we are entitled. Miller made sure to clear the air about the county's involvement with the nonprofit. We have no ill feelings with Vermilion Advantage, Miller said. We want to continue to support their efforts and look forward to a long association with Amy and their staff. Amy Brown was named CEO of Vermilion Advantage in March. Next is United Way of Danville Area receives $20,000 grant. And this is a staff report. Danville. The United Way of Danville Area was awarded a $20,000 Charitable Trust Stabilization Fund grant through the Illinois State Treasurer's Office to support food insecurity through Rose's Food for the Children program. According to a release from the Office of Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frericks, 10 nonprofit organizations across the state that provide food and housing to people in need received the grants, totaling $195,000. Through these grants, we are lending a hand to people who are struggling to meet basic needs like food and shelter, Frericks said in the release. We recognize that people are faced with higher housing costs and grocery prices while the federal government is abandoning its responsibilities. We are proud to team up with these nonprofit organizations that strengthen their communities by diligently working to improve the lives of Illinoisans in need. According to United Way of Danville Area, these funds will help provide weekend meals for local children in Danville District 118 schools who experience food insecurity, ensuring they have access to nutritious food when school is not in session. The program's founder, Rose Gates, was a school nurse who recognized the importance of nutrition on education and development, said Sue Stahl with Rose's Food for the Children. She was especially concerned for the younger children, so she set out a way to feed them. Stahl said this grant will cover about a quarter of their annual budget. During the school year, a group of about 35 volunteers pack up to 500 bags of food for kids to take home so they can have food during the two-day weekend break. United Way of Danville appreciates the outstanding work of Nicole Van Heift with the Van Heift Grant Lab, who prepared and submitted our grant application. Her dedication and attention to detail helped bring these additional resources to our community. And from the sports pages, we have the Local Roundup by Marvin Holman. Champaign. The University of Illinois will start selling single game tickets at noon on Thursday. The sale will come after the iFund presale period, which started Monday and will run through Wednesday through various sections of Gies Memorial Stadium. Fans can purchase tickets at www.fightingillini.com/tickets. Season tickets are close to selling out, with 7-game packages starting as low as $16 a game. And Legion Baseball. In Tilton, the post-210 junior gold team's season ended on Sunday with a 6-2 loss to the Champaign post-24 junior Legion team. Owen Atwood had 2 RBIs for the junior gold, while Fletcher Clem had a double and Joseph Smalley had 4 strikeouts in 6 innings. The junior gold was coming off a split of Saturday's action. They lost to Eureka Post 466 7-5 as Riker Dew and Weston Church each had 3 hits and an RBI. Dayton Dubois had 1 RBI and Owen Atwood had 2 hits. Kalen Lehman had 3 strikeouts in 6 innings. Post 210 rebounded with a 9-0 win over Post 90 as Dayton Dubois had 7 strikeouts in 7 innings. Lehman and Tate McLaughlin each had 2 RBIs. Owen Atwood had 4 hits and an RBI. Dew had 2 hits and an RBI. And Clem, Dubois, and Church each had 1 RBI. And in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Hoopston native Ezra Elliott made a historic debut for the UFC on Saturday. Against Damian Anderson, Elliott hit takedown after takedown to set a featherweight record with 12 takedowns, as he was able to take the unanimous decision over Anderson. Elliott won with cards of 30-27, 29-28, and 29-28. With the win, Elliott is 8-0, and he awaits his return to the octagon in the future. And finally, in auto racing, in Harlan, Iowa, with his father on the mend, Oakwood's Bobby Pierce returned to work on Saturday at the Silver Dollar Nationals at Shelby County Speedway. Pierce ended up third in the race, as his father, Bob Pierce, was recovering in Omaha, Nebraska, after suffering a stroke. Bobby Pierce will race at Lincoln Speedway today, while Bob Pierce could possibly return home today. Returning to some other community stories, we have a staff report titled IDOT Seeks Public Feedback on Transportation Survey. Springfield. The Illinois Department of Transportation is asking the public for their feedback on the state's transportation system and the agency's performance through the annual Traveler Opinion Survey. According to a release from IDOT, the online survey will be available through Tuesday, August 11th. You can also get to the survey via the IDOT website at idot.illinois.gov. The survey is conducted in partnership with the University of Illinois Springfield and is an opportunity for people who live in Illinois to provide their opinion on a wide range of topics, giving IDOT the information it needs to continue to be a leader in transportation services. This year's survey asks for input on road conditions, ice and snow removal, planning priorities, electronic vehicles, and more. The Traveler Opinion Survey has been a staple since 2001, and a copy of previous surveys and results can be viewed at this website, idot.illinois.gov/form-and-reports. And Impact Life Blood Drives set for Hoopston and Danville. Impact Life, the provider of blood components for local hospitals, has scheduled a pair of blood drives in August for Vermilion County. According to a release, the first blood drive will be Monday, August 3rd, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. inside the donor bus that will be parked at 701 East Orange Street in Hoopston. The second blood drive will be Thursday, August 6th, at OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center, Conference Rooms 2 and 3 at 812 North Logan in Danville. Appointments which are requested to donate blood can be scheduled by calling 800-747-5401 or on the website www.bloodcenter.org using the code 70609 for Hoopston, or for Danville, the code is 70321. Or you can call Jacob Orger at 217-369-6545. The donation process takes 45 minutes to 1 hour. And from Community Briefs, we have the Kager reunion set for Sunday. The Kager family reunion will be at 1 p.m. Sunday, July 26th, at the Wayne Blakeney Building at Ward Park in Ridge Farm. All participants are asked to bring a covered dish. Drinks and table service will be provided. For more information, contact Kager Reunion President Ruth Kager Johnson by email at elainer1750@gmail.com. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, July 21st, 2026. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.